Adventures in Research. If you're a fisherman, a boating enthusiast, or just a lover of clear blue water, chances are you're among the millions of Americans who use an outboard motor. And if so, you owe a special debt to a big blonde Norwegian who perfected the first successful one and then admonished everyone to throw the oars away. This is Paul Shannon bringing you another transcribed story of science produced as a public service in cooperation with the Westinghouse Research Laboratories. And today telling you the story of Ole Evinrude and the outboard motor. Let us begin our story in Cambridge, Wisconsin, in 1893. Ole is a 16-year-old boy, shy, growing too fast, and... But let's hear what others had to say of him.
Ole? Andrew Evinrude's boy? Why, smarter than a whip. Yes, sir. Give him a machine to fix and the boy will do it right off. Ain't a thing about machinery that boy don't know.
Ole? Well, the lad's all right. Works his head off on Andrew's farm, but I don't think he'll ever be a farmer. He's got that look in his eyes. Used to see it back home in Norway. A far-off look, like a man who's thinking of the sea and blue water, tall masts.
My son Ole, he's a good boy, not like the other children. You know what Ole's doing? Building himself a boat, a real sailboat, making it in secret out in the woodshed. Andrew says, Ole, stick to the farm. And me, I don't think that's for Ole, but I wouldn't say so to Andrew.
And then one day, Andrew Evinrude found the precious boat, looked at it with a sudden blinding rage, and picked up an axe.
So, boats you're building, yeah? For this, we travel all the way from Norway to Wisconsin so you can build boats, eh? Keeping a secret from your pa, eh? I'll show you what I think of boats. No boats. Farming. That's what we'll do. Wasting time and money on boats. No more boats, you hear? Forget them. And if I ever catch you building another, I'll smash it into kindling wood, just like this one.
That was Ole Evinrude, age 16. A lonely, bashful boy, slaving on a farm, designing and building a boat, with only a picture in a book to guide him, and holing up in his room, studying books about ships and machines, books and more books.
Trash! You need shoes, not books, to waste time on. No books, you hear, and no boats!
But secretly, Ole built another boat, a lovely, trim craft with snowy sails. And his father found that one, too.
Another boat, eh? I warned you, if you built another... Another boat! All right.
I wanted to make a farmer of you, Ole. But I guess it's not for you. It's a right nice boat, Ole. Come, I'll help you haul it over to the lake.
And Ole Evinrude, who had never seen a real boat in his life before, sailed it like a master. That was the end of farming, and Ole left for Madison, Wisconsin, and finally to Milwaukee, where he worked in a pattern shop by day, and by night studied and dreamed and tinkered in the back room of a boarding house owned by one Mrs. Doyle.
Mr. Evinrude, got some clean towels for you. You in there, Mr. Evinrude?
Just a minute, Mrs. Doyle.
No reason on earth to lock your door. Nobody but honest folks live in this house, Mr. Evinrude.
Thank you, Mrs. Doyle, for the towels.
Wouldn't have nobody but honest people rooming in my house. Something mighty suspicious about folks who lock their door, I say.
Thank you, Mrs. Doyle.
Like they got something to hide, maybe. Well, I never. Now listen here, Mr. Evinrude. Look out you don't set that room on fire again. You hear me? You'll burn the house down right over our heads. And not even know it if I didn't say... So I just told him, Mr. Evinrude, I said, I can't have this going on. I run a respectable house, I said, and you dozing off and letting that kerosene lamp smoke up the whole place that way.
He's a queer one, Mrs. Doyle. Where is he now?
Down in the basement, fiddling with something. But I told him that he'd have to be out of there by 8 o'clock.
What's he doing down in the basement?
Oh, I don't know.
The lights! What happened to the lights?
I'll bet it's that old Evinrude down in the basement. Ooh, I get my head...
It works. It really works.
Light a match, somebody.
Oh, it works. Come on down and look. I just got my engine going. Hooked it up to the gas jet and...
It blew out every light in the house.
Oh, I guess the engine went so fast it pulled all the gas from the pipes, Mrs. Doyle. But...
Mr. Evinrude, you pack your things and get...
You may be sure that Dolly Evinrude's experiments were the wonder of the neighborhood. And a young girl named Bess Carey, who lived next door, couldn't help wondering, too, when she heard Mrs. Doyle's latest story.
Imagine! Like to blow the place up. I won't have him making any more experiments in my house. He's got to get out of here before...
Yes, the young girl must have been a little curious about this shy, blonde Norwegian who cared more for an engine than he did for a house.
So I was thinking, Miss Carey, seeing as how you live next door to Mrs. Doyle's, and that shed in your backyard ain't being used for nothing, could I... That is... Well, how much would you want for me to rent it?
So Ole Evinrude moved his engine into the shed next door. He improved it. He built a horseless carriage to put it in. He founded a company to build similar engines to order and landed a contract for 50 one-horsepower models for the United States government. And all the while, he saw more and more of pretty young Bess Carey. There were walks and rides in Ole's automobile and a picnic one hot Sunday afternoon at a nearby lake.
Ah, here, under this tree. Should be a nice breeze off the lake, Bess.
It'll blow my hair all over the place, but I don't care.
You look real pretty that way, Bess.
Why, thank you, Ole.
How's business school coming?
Oh, it's exciting. I love business.
Wish I could say that. I've tried it, but I just don't have a head for business. But give me a shop and a carpenter's rule and a drawing board.
And a basement to blow up.
Yeah. Guess I am sort of a fool, Bess. My engine company's losing money, and it shouldn't. I build good engines.
Of course you do. But you don't manage the business right, Ole.
Yeah. I suppose you're right.
You need someone to write your letters and keep the books. Someone to organize things.
I know. I've no knack for such things, but...
Tell you what. I'll come in every day after school and manage the office, Ole.
Would you, Bess?
Sure.
Gosh. Well, I don't see what a pretty girl like you sees in a big...
Now, Ole, don't talk that way. Oh, gee, it's nice out here. Know what would make it complete?
Hmm?
Ice cream. Doesn't that sound good?
Ice cream? Is that what you want, Bess? Well, I'll get you some.
Oh, don't be silly. I didn't mean for you to... Only come back here, honestly.
No trouble at all, Bess. I can roll over in no time.
It's 5 miles over there and back. Don't be silly.
I'll be right back, Bess. Don't go away.
Yes, it was a 5-mile round trip, and the sun was hot. At the end of a mile...
Oh, this is work. Oh, somebody sure ought to put an engine on these blasted boats.
Then 2 miles.
Well, maybe one of those portable engines like the government ordered. Only more simple, lighter in weight. A real simple engine you could attach to a rowboat.
4 miles.
Yeah, somebody ought to invent one. And maybe... Oh, by golly, I will.
The ice cream had long since melted. And so, it seemed, had Ole Evinrude's idea. Maybe there were just too many other things to take up his mind. Two more hand-built automobiles. The Motor Car Power Equipment Company to manufacture a standard engine and transmission for installation in any horseless carriage. The failure of his company and starting all over again with a pattern shop. But most of all, marrying Bess Carey and working day and night to make ends meet. And then one day in 1908, out in his shop.
Come here, Bess, quick. I've got something to show you.
What is it, Ole?
Here, take a look.
Oh, what in the world is it? It looks like a coffee grinder.
It's an engine, Bess. An engine that'll run a rowboat.
Ole, you've been working around with this when we're so short of money.
I got the idea a couple of years ago when I rode back for that ice cream, remember? Well, this is it. You just fasten it to the back of a boat and away you go. Watch, I'll start her up. Well, what do you think of it, Bess? Isn't it a beaut?
Well, now that you've got it, what are you going to do with it, Ole?
Do with it? Well, gosh, I don't know.
Well, if it's as good as you say it is, it ought to sell. Is it that good, Ole?
Well, maybe not, but I can make it that good.
Then do it, Ole. Do it.
And Ole did. He perfected his motor and built 25 of them out in his shop, while Bess managed the front office and wrote their first advertisement.
We've money for only one ad, Ole, but we'll put it in the biggest motor magazine that's published. See, here's what it says. Don't row, throw the oars away.
That ad brought hundreds of others. With his own hands, Ole designed the machines for mass production of his motors, squeezed a $5,000 investment into a factory, and started America throwing the oars away. No, Ole Evinrude's motor wasn't the first ever built, and maybe not the fanciest, but it was different. It worked. Today, some 4 million outboard motors churn up the water in every corner of the world. They do far more than simply serve as the fisherman's best friend. They save countless lives in flood emergencies. They carry explorers on the waterways of trackless jungles. They are employed by commercial fishermen, the Coast Guard, and the Navy. They are used to mix large vats of liquids. They have been adapted to run lawnmowers, small electric light plants, and firefighting equipment. Yes, Ole Evinrude's first little engine has come a long way. Today's light, powerful, streamlined outboards are remotely controlled and fed with gasoline, are remarkably quiet and free of vibration. Tribute indeed to the man whose neighbors said of him,
"He's got that look in his eyes, a far-off look, like a man who's thinking of the sea and blue water and tall masts."
Yes, among all of those who love the water and find fun afloat, there's a special fondness for Ole and Bess Evinrude. And special thanks, too, for a hot Sunday afternoon and a quart of ice cream, which helped set in motion a pioneering adventure in research. That's today's Adventures in Research, produced in cooperation with the Westinghouse Research Laboratories. These programs are broadcast to armed forces personnel overseas through the facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. Join us again next week for another transcribed story of science on Adventures in Research.